Tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And that's me, your host, Bill Grant of Argonne. Another 10 to midnight show on Saturday night on Revolution Radio. That's the donation station. That's how we stay on air. No commercials here. No control. Collars from big corporations that are really communist, Marxist, et cetera, kind of like things. There's a chance I'll be having maybe two feathers on tonight or tomorrow or sometime in the future. Mario and then possibly Rick. Looks like Mario will be able to join me, I think. As well, anyway, it's 10:04 p.m. on East Coast Station, North American Time, Station Time. And it's the 10th, February 10th, 2024. So a lot is going to happen between now and sometime by the end of 2025, either way. And whatever happens, it's going to be critical, important things that are going to happen, a build-up kind of things. Maybe Mario will have something to add to that. I did get to come in early last night, see some videos, and finally got to see more Mike Adams and just a few random things, and Gregory and Manervino, M-A-N, I think one spelling is two N's. And one is just one N. Well, he's got the 10-minute pre-shows, and then he does his own major main live shows. So between him and Salenti, what's Salenti's first name? What the hell? You know, I got it right here. Hold on a minute. I'm still trying to catch up. It's a rain day and rain night. Oh, yeah, Gerald Salenti. So I got to watch some Gerald Salenti last night. Love the guy. Now I know for sure he is anti-Trump, understands it is just a uniparty, knows exactly why to be anti-Trump, and does know and understand all the other good reasons to like him, but knows it doesn't really matter. They're all on the same page, all went to do the same thing. All of my same arguments. Thank you, Salenti. I love the guy. I love his swearing and yelling as well. I don't care. It's a little harsh sometimes, but it's like an acquired taste. You need to yell and be angry with him. That's how you have to understand me and him and others. And Gregory. Greg might be with two G's at least sometimes. Gregory Manorvino on YouTube. It was a little slightly difficult to look him up. You have to do it right. I'll probably look for a video or two. His last few titles or something for you later. For both of them, and of course, I said I looked up a little more on the like another thing involving Cold Fusion with Mike Adams. Of course, I've been involved in the Cold Fusion program since not so much as a kid. I've only heard about it. I was more mainstream then, but balls to the wall on it, loved it, and the whole idea of perfect fuel, infinite fuel in the whole universe, anywhere and everywhere you go, the perfect fuel for fusion. Never run out of fuel and, you know, fuse it way better than nuclear, at least when combined with normal nuclear. And never run out of fuel, and it's clean. And ultimately, you can, in the ultimate down the line fusings, create water and stuff. And then, of course, you can turn water into hydrogen and oxygen and use that as a perfect gas on the opposite end. But when I was a child, I did understand the issue. And, I'll add you, Mario. Yeah, let me just click that for Mario real quick. And maybe we'll add Rick later if he has time. And, wait a minute, let me just click this for him so he knows he's not waiting for nothing. All right. Oh, yeah. See, I did hear later. I knew about free energy maybe before I knew about fusion. No, not before I knew about fusion, but before I got heavily into the whole super fusion movement that was beginning again, along with the electronics and robot revolution. Mostly the electronics revolution, computer revolution was taking off. Indications of the robot revolution would take off for more really in the future outside of just manufacturing. And but the fusion, hot fusion, big programs designed to tie you to them. Basically something they could meter again. They required a lot of, there's so many pluses and so many minuses, and they eventually were coming closer and closer to the break even and had a whole bunch of reasons why they could. And one improvement had to do with lithium. One reason they want lithium, one of the many reasons they want to control lithium, is not just for your mind, to control your mind in drinking water and battery power. It's just a transition state. As far as batteries go, they do not want lithium indefinitely at all. It's going to be transitioned out. Right, we're already kind of begun that. That will be transitioned out. They have a lot of uses for it. One of them is fusion, of which I've stated in the past. Now, the reason is because normal fusing of fusion, hydrogen fuel and all that, I'm not talking nuclear fission, not plutonium, uranium stuff. I'm talking the complete 100% opposite. Fusion is 100% opposite. 100% opposite. In every way. And so it still has a little bit of neutron radiation, physical radiation, not electromagnetic necessarily, physical radiation. And they want to shield that. But the positive thing is, and this is a slight oversimplification, I'm not going to go into complications. The masses don't understand the complications. I don't care. You can look up the rest. I know I could add things, exact things. That actually puts a gloss over everybody's, too many people's eyes sometimes. Sometimes I'll be intricate. Sometimes I'll intentionally be oversimplifying. It's to get you interested in a catchphrase, but in the positive direction instead of the negative direction. So fusion did have high heat. It had to stay cool, and it had radiation. And we had to shield ourselves from radiation. And first of all, it was already really also a radiation shield for what? Normal nuclear. Outside of all the hydrogen and water and ice and all kinds of other different liquid metals and stuff. Lithium. Some of you don't know that. Some of you have known it for a long time. The masses probably don't know it. Not across the world anyway. Maybe in America and in the English-speaking worlds and the higher up, you know, bigger cities and stuff. The educated Japan and, you know, China and some places in Russia and so on, England and so on. So, and Canada, Australia, and that's pretty much for the most part it. Everything else kind of straggles off behind, faster and faster, rapidly drop off. So to dirt floors. So in fusion, one of the common, sort of common denominators is they wanted the lithium, liquid lithium, to cool. No, not really to cool, really to prevent from overheating. Not to cool the supercooling materials, but they wanted it as a shield, and it'll be in liquid form. In other words, it'll be like a lithium liquid blanket surrounding the fusion reactor, and it would catch. It's dense. It would be liquid, but it would be very dense. Well, I mean, it's not as dense. I don't know what the density is exact. I don't remember. It would float in water, I'm pretty sure, or almost be even with. Someday I'll figure that out again. It comes down to this. It absorbs all the physical neutron radiation, and the bombardment of the neutron collides with the lithium and creates fuel for the reactor itself. But more than that, there's more to it than that, and I'm not going to talk about that. I don't give a damn anymore. I'm not going to extend out. You can look up the rest. But I had incorporated lithium into my reactors for multiple reasons, and you can use it in stealth technology. But we're having a problem. World War III is going to create and is in the process right now of creating, guess what, the next new 2.0 Philadelphia experiment. That's right, that's going to happen. Or it's going to almost happen in the way that the first one, all the claims happen, only it'll be like not simply an invisibility program that, oops, slipped through the vortex and ended up coming back 20 years later, or just 200 miles away and then back again and half killed everybody. And then you get all the stories forever and ever and ever, and you don't know what the truth is. Oh, then they went to Mars. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what the story is, because the next one is in creation right now. And one of the reasons is the same exact reason as World War II. The exact reason. All the psychological reasons, all the acts of war against you and the civilians and the soldiers reasons, the drive for technology reasons, which is the push and purpose of war. The purpose of war is to exterminate you while causing the development of ultra-high technology, ultra-advanced science. That is its actual purpose. And what do they want? They want to teleport and time travel and or at least break off from the planet and go far out and far away and outdo and outlast any alien or any natural cause problems out there in the universe. Any adversity of any kind. Well, guess what? They need invisibility again, don't they? Yeah, we have invisibility radar paint and we have this and we have that. Sure, we know how to angle things off, reflect it. We know how to absorb it. All those things were crap. When they built the stealth bomber, that came out of World War II from the stealth submarines and all the programs they had with absorbing radar. It was top secret then. My friend was sort of peripherally involved. Just normal radar was completely black ops in World War II. Never mind stealth, just using radar, period. Oh, yeah, sorry, Mario. I'll pull you in like in 2 minutes. And 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Sorry about that. I get carried away. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night and tomorrow show either way and other stuff from the videos last night. So me and Mario and maybe one or two others, possibly Cass, would all have a chat. Maybe just me and Mario tonight. Hello to everyone. It's February 10th, 2024. You need to donate just to keep the station alive and to keep all of the Studio A, Studio B, the Hawk's Nest alive day and night, 24/7, and any of your hosts. There's no such thing as picking and choosing which host you want on air. Either the station's on air or everyone's gone. All right? They'll probably drop something like the archives if you don't donate enough. And thank you, everyone, actually, for you're starting to step back up again. We're still kind of far away from what we need. But I know those who held back, who were forced to hold back, did come through. That planned on coming through late. They came through late themselves. Hopefully the rest of you will. And suddenly there was another little leap forward. So thank you for that. It's the only way we're staying on air. And I don't care if you like just one host out of the 100 or whatever here. You're only getting them if you donate to keep the station on air. And even if you donate to keep the station on air, it might not be enough to keep the archives going. And it might not be enough to keep Studio B on at all. Or the Hawk's Nest. Or, well, what else? Chat. We'll probably keep chat or we'll downgrade chat. We'll make it a stupid little tiny thing. We got one of the best chats. You want to keep that on? You want to have a little tiny block on the side? No, you want our chat. We had pretty good chat last time. We have another great chat. No, we want to keep it good. You don't want real commercials. We're saving you money. If you're going and buying stuff other places, that's because you didn't donate enough here. We saved you the money for you to buy your health products. Now check out our banner ads. Invest in putting an ad in here. If one way to donate is to just take out a $25 monthly ad. It's not renewal. You just paid per month. You can pay us any kind of way you can think of. Cash, check, money order, everything. Now the donation stuff is right at the top of the page. And how to mail cash or check? Right on top of the page. Get to the homepage right now. Revolutionary Radio. No, I mean, I did that old thing I did by accident again. Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. And then sometimes it'll come up okay or good enough or get you to the other links to find the right one. If you add at freedomslips.com like the old way, one or two kind of will work or we'll get you to the main one. You'll get right into chat. It'll come up where you can click in chat. They got Patreon and all kinds of things right up on top. Oh, the red outlines right on the top of the page. You'll see like three or four red little rectangles outlines. You click on a bunch of stuff you need in there to keep us on air. So donate. We need you donate. We need your donations. And you really should think somebody here is worth paying we asked for minimal. You're not going to keep anybody else on air other than a single person with their own page for what we do. You can't get as low of a number to keep something on air as us. If you can't do that, You don't deserve freedom. You don't deserve it at all. I don't even want you to have freedom. I want you to actually get captured. I want you to be a medical experiment or a Philadelphia experiment. Hell, be a stupid soldier, enlist as a dumb butt, and then get taken for a ride. Through time and space, maybe, who knows, but you know, you're not going to come back with your brains intact. You'll probably be inverted, inside out or something, okay? Or captured by some force on the other end, never come back. Where did he go? I don't know. Oh, let's try it again. Oh, no, they disappeared too. Where did they go? Oh, I don't know. No, nothing came back. Oh, a piece of one came back. Oh, interesting. Well, let's do that one again. Well, we got in the right area anyway. Let's send another crew. Now, you know why? The reason is now we understand a lot more about entanglement. Quantum entanglement, which has to do with, see, they know how to, and I was figuring this out a long time ago. I knew since I was a teenager, a little after that, there was a bit, like early 20, I don't know, I forgot. By the time the stealth bomber, I already knew about the stealth bomber when I was 12, and all the future designs, and especially because of the famous artist that is now killed or murdered or just simply died. Candlish. I didn't really hold on to that as being his name for a long time. I wanted to get in touch with him, actually, and maybe use him for things in the future and to have talks with him. I didn't really know enough about him until it was too late. So you all need to do a lot of research, keep up as much as you can. But see, by that time, it was already from World War II, every bit of it, the stealth bomber, the whole entire thing, all the stealth material and methods were all already, they were handed down to the insiders and the insider traders, the covert operation giant megacorps, the covert front companies for the military industrial complex, and which is for all the bankers in the Pentagon, which is for the Federal Reserve, which is for, again, the bankers and Mason types, let's say. Masonic. So, oh, sorry, Mario, I'm dragging on. I'm just about done with this. What it comes down to, they developed all the multitude of stealth technologies. Ultimately, we were already taken over. We're already Stasinated. And, you know, a good part full of moles. All the technology was shared with the major countries like Russia. England was already our ally officially, and so was Australia and Canada. I think New Zealand, UK, the whole UK, I get, I'm not sure. But anyway, maybe a couple stragglers and Japan. I'm not sure if we knew Japan knew some of it either way. They know about free energy too. They invented a lot of it themselves because they're super smart. The civilians, the citizens, some of them, oh man, they are geniuses. I love their art too, and they're cool looking, and the women are awesome. So, some India women are kind of awesome too. I seen one last night, a Dubai woman actually, connected with India, and connected with some of the mega projects, and looks a lot like, which finally reminded me of some of the people I went to school with in different places. And they're pretty good looking, pretty cute and everything. So, but it comes down to finalize what I'm saying, all the stealth technology is now a failure. And it was a failure the whole time. It was really to fight be a temporary cover for the Middle East, attacks in the Middle East. Now, they did not have what we had, or Russia or anyone. We weren't planning on really attacking Russia anyway. Now, we needed some kind of political and personal people little cover. And we did not all of Russia or, you know, the military knew about stealth, everything about stealth. It comes down to, we knew they were going to figure it out pretty soon. We just had to get the upper edge, the first. We had to get it first. the best of it first, all of what we could first. And, you know, we did what we could. And it really ultimately didn't matter, because nothing, there was ways in which the stealth bomber flew certain angles and turnarounds and angle to the left, angle to the right, and come in up and down kind of issues, which were pre-planned politically ahead of time, and what the path is going to be, all kinds of things, what it was legal to be and what it was illegal to be, where to go, where it was illegal to go, according to the UN treaties. So no matter what, they could always catch the stealth bomber. And then they had the stealth boats and the stealth submarines and all that stuff. You know, but before all that, we were developing stealth radar, and that led to the Philadelphia experiment, which supposedly all kinds of things went into that. And that supposedly and accidentally teleported. Now, since that time, we've really mastered stealth anyway. We've done all kinds of stuff with stealth. And now it's junk. Every bit of it's junk. There is no such thing as stealth anymore. And I forgot the name of the guy. I'll probably say it tomorrow night. I did say this in the past. I mentioned this kind of thing in the past. Again, I keep kind of being behind the big figureheads. Now, I like a lot of the figureheads, the speakers. I am ahead of them. I'm not behind any of them. But they keep being the first and the most public. And that's great, but it pisses me off. Because, again, they're kind of taking my wind. I'm in a hard place for a very long time. They've been in a very good place for a very long time. They believed in the system, grew up, and went with it. That is the reason they have money. That's the reason they are able to get on air and do everything there that I would have done. Only I would have done 100 times more, faster and more complete, but I would not have done it with a Christian personality or persona or like viewpoint, I mean, nor like a Luciferian or other, not a shaman, you know, not a shamanistic version or any. I would be more of a universal Gnostic scientist philosopher version who's ahead of the curve since childhood, trying to rush and catch up and catch everybody else up as fast as possible without being actually shut down and captured for actually going too fast, saying too much of the right thing. Now think of it. John Wayne has him on his show. Might have been on tonight. John Wayne has him on his show often, and he's up on the transhumanism and all that, but he's a Christian. You cannot beat this with the Christian point of view. Can't. Not going to. Now, it's a plus in many ways. There are many pluses to that, sort of keep you ahead of the curve. But now, for a long time now, since I was a child, somewhere in between here and there, all stealth has been relegated to junk, especially now that the Chinese also have the technology having to do with quantum entanglement. It doesn't matter if the radar would bounce off it or absorb it. Just because the energy hit it, and Tron brought this up, Tron was sort of indicating he was involved, who was on Lorian Fenton's show, and mine, and actually Solaris coming up next after me on Studio A. He indicated what I was actually sort of like tentatively working on. I'd already planned all this. There's nothing anybody can say that I don't know in some form, some minor form, or a seed I planted in the back of my mind meant to grow. I was stifled on the whole time. Nothing. There isn't anything. So entanglement outdoes all stealth. If the wave hits the damn stealth bomber, if the stealth bomber reflects it or absorbs it, it immediately has an opposite end entangled response on the operator of the basically the radar transmitter. You get it? There's no such thing as stealth anymore. So now they're going to have to reinvent it. They're going to be perfecting how to disentangle all entanglements. How to make sure it does not tangle. That's going to be the focus. This is from me to you. I didn't get it from anywhere. I didn't read it from anybody. And I didn't get it from Tron. I invented it. Remember that. It's from me. I know what's going to happen. I know what they're doing, and I know what they're going to do. The whole new Philadelphia experiment is going to take place under the guise of something a little less, or exactly the same thing, but some people are going to know about what happened last time, and they're going to say, well, yeah, those people are going to be given extra knowledge, and they're going to still pretend they never completely perfected it or partly perfected it. And there's going to be steps of degrees of which who's going to get what knowledge. I need to know step ladder. Deeper into the black ops stuff. Oh, damn it. Sorry, Mario. I'm about to wrap it up. Like 30 seconds to a minute. It comes down to this. Their job is not just going to be to prevent the entanglement of any received or any future transmission of the body, call it the black body, from any kind of radar source, any kind of entanglement. No. What they have to do is understand how to de-entangle the entire ship. The whole ship as a whole, one single body. And that is going to reinstitute what happened last time. Only this time, they're not just simply going to be sent a couple hundred miles away or maybe to freaking Mars, whatever. Oh, no. The news story, whatever is going to happen, the news stories that might, if ever, come out in the far future are going to be they left the whole universe. 100 trillion universes away. They don't know where the hell they go. They don't know where they came out. That's going to be it. The whole ship is going to be massively infused with some kind of scalar field. Ultra powerful scalar field designed to de-entangle both energy and matter. But it's going to de-entangle it from this universe. We're entangled to the Earth. It's going to de-entangle us physically and dislodge us right out of this time and space. Call it that. That's not literally what it's going to do, but essentially, it's going to make it disappear. Everyone's going with it. And hell, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows? The stories are going to come out if they come out at all, and they're going to be vastly greater than the original Philadelphia experiment, which is going to be turned into movies again, which all has to do with the movie The Final Countdown, which has to do with they got the ship. It's an aircraft carrier, so here we go. Battleship versus aircraft carrier. People sent back in time. They try to change it. They can't. And they couldn't escape it. They went in a vortex tunnel. It has to do with vortexes, magnetic fields, electrogravity. And it drove them crazy. Everybody was screaming on the deck when it happened. They were duplicating the story of the Philadelphia experiment, weren't they? Maybe there was an entanglement with two ships. Or maybe it was the same ship they were really trying to tell you about what happened. One ship, it got divided into two. One went to the future. One went into the past. Then it came back. All right, that's it for now. I'll probably bring that back up tomorrow. I'm going to pull in Mario. I got to figure out how to do this again. Let me see. Get back there. Shrink that. Okay, now I can do that. So don't take my damn story from me. I know you're going to do it. You owe me a lot of money for that, by the way. I know you're going to do it already. You owe me karmic credits at the very least in Lush. Thank you. I'll keep it. By the way, I'm taking it from you forcefully anyway. Any money you make from me and any story, if you didn't come up with it before I said it, well, I'm taking it from you. You've been warned. You're not getting it from me. Not taking anything from me. I'm not taking back. I think I'm adding Mario. It's my story. It's my plan. It's my concept. And there's a lot more to it than that. But it's adding. Oh, hey.
Bill, one second.
Okay.
Bill, give me 30 seconds.
You got it. Okay. We have Mario connected with us, giving him 30 seconds or more, whatever you need. And I still got to reiterate the Bigfoot issue. I never really quite said it right, except when Mario was on right the last time. And it was, I think Lavender Stream said Bigfoot is supposed to not be a meat eater. It's supposed to be a vegetarian. But that's not true, according to some of the main Bigfoot people who talk to them, like almost like they're a group of like a family in the woods who live in the woods and come visit them a lot. Oh, one other guy, too.
Bill.
Ah, yes, we have Mario. Hey, Mario, how you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, good to have you on. What do you want to add?
I was in a time vortex.
Oh, good, good. Was it a long time?
There was a crack in the matrix, so I had to had to get out.
Yeah, you had to go through the matrix to get out of the matrix, though, unfortunately. So a crack. Hopefully, it was a bunch of cracks to get through each of the damn barriers.
No, I saw infinite possibilities to one action. So basically
that might imply that just the mere seeing of infinite possibilities puts you in the right frame of mind for you to disappear right out through the wall, right?
Yeah. I often drive, you know, I was listening to what you were saying, and I tell people that one of the things you should never do is if you want to be conscious of, you know, being a victim of crime, is they say this to joggers and stuff. Don't always jog the same running path, because if somebody is of a mind to victimize you and they know what your route is, you know, you leave your house at 5 a.m., you run this 2 mile route, you pass this area, you go through this area that's not heavily monitored and you're a victim of a crime, that you should change your routine. If weekly, more importantly, daily, just do something different every day. And I always think to myself, when I go to work, I normally take a right or a left turn out of the driveway. However, I could still get to work taking a right. It would be a little longer. Then I think to myself, what would happen today if I took a right? But however, if somebody believes in predestination, then that idea of me taking a left, I've thought about numerous times. And ultimately, I'm going to turn the way the universe wants me to turn. I'm just going to pretend I've made a choice on my own.
Yeah, well,
I think, or I could be completely wrong. I don't know.
Well, no, see, it's always a combination of being simultaneously right on both ends. In other words, every choice, it is a choice. The choice is destined. It's predestined, but it is actually a choice, and it will give a consequence we need to know. We need to know the consequence. And everything that went into making that choice has to do with our experience already. So the experience was already created for us because we were put in an environment in this body, in this brain, in this place and time, and had to go through what we went through, which led us to believe the things we believe in and led us to develop the habits we have. So that all went into you making a choice. And if you decided to make it a random choice, it still was a choice. You had some psychological input from experience. Your experience said, well, this time I'll just do it randomly. So still, there's still a psychology to that. And
are you tricking yourself into thinking you're choosing it randomly?
Yeah, that's really the reality, because it's not random, and people have proven that to me. They'll know what number you're going to guess next because it's not random, and it's actually, we're very programmable in simplistic ways. So if you're standing around talking with somebody and certain things happen to do with numbers around you, and it's a certain order, and you're asked to think of a number 1 through 3 or one of three numbers, they already know because of what you just both together standing there side by side experienced around you and what thoughts they put in your head. Now, I'm not talking simple, subtle making you think of a number kind of thing. It's an exact science. In other words, it's not something you can get around. It's something that if they know the exact parameters of the last half hour, let's say 5 minutes, half an hour, hour, and then they ask you at that moment what number, they know what number you're going to say.
And do you think they've subconsciously planted that number or those numbers
in
your head during that 30-minute conversation?
No, that's what I'm trying to say is not the case. What I'm specifically saying is that does happen. That often does happen. And that is sometimes part of it, part of the, how the universe does it to you. The universe is ordered exactly. It's exactly geometrical and 100% logical. But we're broken minds, we're fragmented minds, becoming gradually perfect. And we have an unpredictability state, and we have to learn from our mistakes to know what's predictable. And we have to figure out the geometry. So what happens is they know that law, and they know that they know how it works, and they know what number you're going to pick. Now, how complicated that can get on the lower ends, who knows? I don't know how complicated it can really be, you know.
Like, this is what I know. So people get really excited about this idea of profiling individuals. And I always tell people, humans are fairly easy to figure out. You can accurately predict what's going to motivate men and women, and this is by no means being sexist, it's just the reality that men and women approach things differently. Like I told somebody once, somebody said, you know, why do most men like sports? And I said, because most men like sports because they don't have to fix any problems. I said, think about it. Ask your husband or boyfriend or brother or something, and you start talking to them. Men are hardwired to automatically start trying to determine what's the problem and how can I solve it? Women just want to have conversations for the sake of having conversations. Dudes just want to solve problems and move on with life. So when people have said, well, why do guys hang out in the garage? And I said, because it's a sanctuary. Those are problems to solve. It's just an area to go. So when you talk about predicting a number or numbers that people are going to choose, I agree with you, because overall, as a human species, we're fairly easy to figure out. I mean, we're not that difficult. People spend thousands of dollars on therapists and relationship counselors and life coaches. And life coaches is a very interesting idea, and I have some thoughts on that. But people spend thousands of dollars on motivational speakers and these sorts of things. And after everything is said and done, these folks aren't saying anything different that hasn't been said before. They're just saying in a different way.
Right.
I remember years ago there was that guy, Anthony Robbins, and he had that book, Awaken the Giant with him. And the guy, I don't know, he's 6'5", 6'8", 7'5", however tall he is. And I would listen to him, and I think to myself, you're not saying anything differently than anybody else. You just have a little more charisma. You're a very tall sort of gentleman. You put on these live shows that are energetic and you get people all sort of worked up, and you understand the psychology of people. And once you get those endorphins in folks and dopamine in folks going crazy, they're most likely to believe and buy into and subscribe to anything.
Yeah. See, my issue with them is, first of all, there's a space for them to be in. So they are the ones who are in that spotlight. That there's always a spotlight for the masses to see. They're filling in that hole. They're filling in that position. And he's pretty good at it. And the problem that I've always said is this. We have two types of people or more, essentially. And you have the people that do not... they've already been motivated. They're already acting on self-motivation and getting the most out of things. Even if they fail, they have greater adversity going against them. It's not because they didn't have enough motivation or that they didn't believe in themselves at all. And you got the other people that are simply mentally crippled. They don't have motivation. They don't know they could do it if they try. You got people who can't do it even if they try, no matter how hard, because it's just some things are too difficult. You're not able. And at least at certain times. You got the other people, if they bothered to try, you know, they're mentally kind of crippled. They're kind of mentally handicapped. They either something bad happened to them along the way, they haven't gotten over yet, or they never really were. They never really were taught right by their parents and stuff. And exactly. Not that they had bad parents, but they didn't.
Some people have bad parents.
And some people have really bad parents, right? Yeah. So it comes down to they're mentally crippled. They're mentally handicapped. They're depressed or they don't feel confident. They lack confidence. So they do need a confidence booster. And the problem with Tony Robbins or whatever his name really was. I think I met him. I might have met him once on a cruise, but
You were on a cruise?
Just one time with I was on like a Kevin Trudeau cruise in the Bahamas.
Wait, is Kevin Trudeau the dude that is living in some state now, and hasn't he been? Well, what's the story behind that Kevin Trudeau guy? For some reason, he sounds like
Did
he manipulate some people or what happened there?
Well, he's a very important person either way. It's a long story because I seen him growing up getting sort of becoming famous on TV about memory. And he was sort of a famous young 20s or still a teenager when he was on stage, maybe Jay Leno or something. And then I heard a little bit more about him later. He got into all kinds of natural care products, all kinds of ways to escape the problems of taxes and the government or some things.
Yes,
like,
apparently in the 90s, he was convicted of larceny and credit card fraud.
Right. But see, those things are kind of not as shady and shaky as they state. See, he was turning against his own kind, which are the elite trying to run people. And he had a conscience. He was sort of in on it. He was sort of with it. In a way, as a kid, I sort of was. I sort of wasn't. I wasn't with those groups. But the thing is, like, you sort of just kind of go with things at a time. You're not really sure what to do. You sort of turn on some people to a degree.
I don't know how reliable Wikipedia is, but according to Wikipedia, he was in federal custody in 2022. He left federal custody in 2022 after 8 years, but apparently there's an unpaid judgment of $37.6 million.
Yeah, now that's kind of what I was trying to figure out how to get up to, because he's now out of jail where we saw him all getting – they kept trying to take him down. He was trying to release natural cures and how to cure people, and he was involved in every group to do with – spiritual and legal help, everything.
He had his fingers in everything.
Right, and he was trying to sell his own natural healthcare vitamin-like products. They were good. It was a good plan. Now, the problem is some of his own friends, which I did like Dr. C, Dr. Caldwell, I forgot if it's C-O or C-A, he was a natural cure, cancer cure, alkaline blood kind of guy from Canada, still there, still in the field. He was buddied up with him until he was turned against Kevin Trudeau. It kind of made it a little awkward for me because I was kind of friends with both of them. And I was on both of their sides. See, when you start going against the system big, big, big time, that's what Kevin was doing, helping everyone perfect their memory and perfect their freedom. But he was involved in super groups, billionaire groups. Either way, I thought they were ultimately using him. And either way, he was doing a lot of great good for the masses, even if it was partially a con job, because the elites have a lot of logic as to why they're doing what they're doing. Now, I ultimately turned against going that way. Kevin seemed to have been trying to get out of it, going with the good side, And so when you go against them, they try to find any way they can to go against you. And they kept trying to lock him up for things he was doing that should not be illegal. They are really not illegal. What they were screwing with what really happened. What he did and didn't do before he really came out is a little different than everything he did thereafter, which they were lying about. And it didn't matter when they were telling the truth. I mean, they were locking up for talking about vitamin C being healthy, and they should not have been able to lock him up, but they finally did it. And he went away for a long time, and he really does not owe that money. It's just the super groups will get you if they want you. He was too big. He was too big, too involved in too many health on the cutting edge, natural health people, all of them, every one of them.
I don't know. I just remember seeing his info commercials. So during your opening monologue, you were talking about February predictions. Now, I do know that in 1600, Martin Luther, the German priest, predicted that the world would end no later than 1600, and we're still around. So I'm just trying to figure out, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? I mean, look, there have been a shit ton of predictions, and I don't know how many predictions have actually come to pass. People will go back and read Nostradamus after the fact, and I say to myself, well, it's fairly easy to apply what you want to apply to a claim prediction by Nostradamus after the fact. But here's an idea. Find me something and then predict what's going to happen and prevent it.
Well, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't predict it and prevent it. It's the future's the future. And you can tap into, let's say, the universal infinite computer that, based on the information in your mind and the surroundings at the time for our level, or call it an alternate universe, basically you could see what would happen if you don't prevent it. So you're told information ahead of time. It's not really the future, because the future is the future. So you can't change the future, but you can prevent things from happening, which was going to be the future anyway. And by showing you something you need to do, and you can predict in ultra computer kind of ways what's going to happen. The greater the computer, the more information it adds down to the atomic and subatomic level and quantum light entanglement, photon, the closer you're going to be to accuracy. It's just a prediction program, a greater and greater and greater prediction program that our minds eventually are strong enough to tap into, to sometimes see ahead of time of what would happen if we don't do something. And then some of us will make the right choice, try to stop it. And then some of those people will actually succeed in preventing the problem. Now, they never did see the future. They saw the probable, calculated out, predicted by limited information future. It was just a calculation by a supercomputer in our mind and time and space or whatever. But the future is the future, and that's what everyone doesn't understand. It wouldn't be called the future if it wasn't the future. It wouldn't be called the past if it wasn't the past. The past is the past. It's not changeable. It's not alterable. And if it is, it always was that way. Just like the future. If you change the future, it always was the future. You just didn't know it. Or we were misinformed about the past, and we're misinformed and had a different belief as to how the future is going to be created. Or, you know, it's like trying to understand when technology is going to take off. Oh, people in the past would have just assumed that people would always live in caves. And then some of the far forward thinkers said, no, we're going to move out of caves and we're going to live in the trees and log cabins. We're going to use the trees to shape it the way we want. We're going to live in the trees, but we're going to shape the trees the way we want them to. That's called a house. But they still didn't know about super RV glass tubes and things in space and future making like giant artificial planets. See, the next group would say, all right, we're all in homes. We're all going to live in homes. We're all going to live in log tree homes forever. And the other head of the group would say, no. Now, remember, at the same time, most people had moved into those tree homes, log cabins or something. Still, some people are living in the caves, some. And the people looking into the future are going to predict. They're going to really, really shape the, really, really get really good, better roofs, make it tighter, make it airtight. We're going to keep the bugs out. We're going to have a window. And we're going to really make it smooth. We're going to make the walls all smooth. No, we're not. Why would we? That's a waste of time. We just throw them together and put mud on it. What are you, an idiot? No, I'm a futurist. And the futurists were right. Now we cut them up. We spend the extra time to make wood perfect as we can, and we complain about any warp now. And when it's better than just a log fallen tree with bark on it. And hell, that would actually be better. Just a fallen tree with throw mud on it still. So the futurists, you got the far, far ahead ones that always knew we're going to go to space. Maybe even from the cave time. They knew it was going to be a long time. It would take a while. But predictability is like everyone's thinking in a trapped bias kind of bubble. They're very small steppers. But the more information you have about how technology makes leaps and changes, and any development helps the next development, the more you know it's going to be much different than you predicted. And the more able you are to make things happen that you want to happen, because you'll have more tools. And the ultimate tool is the mind. And if you can see that in the future, if you don't pull that baby cridge out of that corner in that room next to the window, the next storm is going to bring down that giant tree branch crashing through the roof and the window into the baby.
Break.
Yeah, break time. All right, yeah, we have Mario with us, folks. More Mario. We get back. I'll let you before the talking again. Sorry, Mario. Your time. You hit the cage. Don't. Back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B, it's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Argon with Bill Grant, only at Revolution Radio.
So, this is Mario speaking for Bill. Bill may have left. This is Argon, heard Saturday evenings in Studio B from 10 until midnight Eastern Standard Daylight Time. I have no idea where Bill is. He's disappeared, so I guess I'm just going to sit here and ramble on so there's no dead air.
Ramble on, buddy, ramble on.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I just couldn't get back in time. I knew this might happen. Oh, that was one attempt. But yeah, it's just like the other people and the dogs and fixing stuff and taking a sip of water.
See, this is what people don't quite understand is for all the hosts, most hosts either have what we've got a choice of either a break twice an hour or a break once an hour. Well, if the break comes once an hour, it's roughly from 57 or 3 minutes before the hour, and it ends somewhere in between, 2 and 3 minutes after the top of the hour. So you've got roughly a 5 to 6 minute break to, do what you need to do. And in most cases, I don't know about you, but during my show, I'm, drinking water. Because sometimes you're talking for, 50 plus minutes straight.
Yeah.
Reading chat, right. Reading stories, what have you. And when you consume so much liquid, you go to the bathroom. And by the time you get up, go to the bathroom, maybe you fill up your water jug and come back. In some cases, it's time to go. So I think people who don't see how things work backstage or behind the curtain would be surprised that we as hosts have very little time to get back to our computers, throw our headsets on, and try to remember exactly where we left off at.
Right. I can't really prepare for much. Finally, last night, I got to do some research for a change, and I'll do that for tomorrow night. I'm glad you're with me. So we do have Mario with us, everyone. Yeah, exactly, Mario. sometimes we kind of forget about the drink and we start to get dry mouth too. And that is the opposite. Also, you have to start gulping down stuff in during the break if that happens. So that takes up a little extra time. And I don't know, like spills happen and you're trying to make some coffee. I don't do that here, but, you know, it's a lot different than most people think. And for me,
random people send you a text and
I've
got two cats and they're meowing at times and they're trying to jump up. My cats are obsessed with my keyboard and my monitors.
Right. And if someone asks something of you while you're trying to do five things during a 5 minute break, like, look, I don't have time. I really don't have time to stop and chit chat right now. And
please talk into the chat room, claiming that I have a tissue sample of Bigfoot, and I don't.
Oh, well, you know, I wanted to briefly talk about that again because and Bob Lazar, because I did do some more of the research on
Bob's
him.
I'm a still, punk.
Well, no, I'm still on the fence, but I do see a lot more reason to think. I seen both extra more bad stuff and extra good, and I understand he could be in the situation he's in.
Okay, let me explain my position on Bob Lazar without getting the weeds, into the minutiae.
Before we do that, let's do the Bigfoot thing because people don't understand. I was growing up, I had played around with, as many, many normal people did, played around with the idea that if they saw Bigfoot, after all the hype and no one ever really proves anything, they would look at it as just another animal like a deer in the woods or a bear, and they would shoot it to finally prove it. And I thought about doing the same thing, and you have too. Now, we're sick of the damn stories. I don't want to believe he's from fairyland and they can speak English. No, no one's seen the damn thing officially. And during the hype times of all time, they proved 90% of it or 99% of it was definitely fake. And admittedly, and caught faked.
Right.
And some of the films, the one major film that they have, it could be real. It could be. It could be a guy with a naked guy with glued on hair all on his body. But the problem with the film, I realized again, here's the problem, I think, where the film took place is the same area and at the same time they were proving all the hoaxes. It's the same zone, same state or something anyway. Same state, they already proved all the footprints were faked. I mean, we never seen them again. We had a trillion cell phones now and satellites looking at every square inch of the earth. Where's Bigfoot? All right, so that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead. So
I agree with you. So this, so you and I are reading the same book and we're on the same page. So on my program, I often joke and make fun of the Bigfoot people, and here's the reason why, is because again, I am a firm believer that look, my philosophy in life is you do you. You know, I've said this to people before. And I'll say it again. I poke fun at folks that you know, believe in Bigfoot, UFOs, all these sorts of things. But at the end of the day, I take the position that, you know, it really doesn't matter what people do. There's always going to be a level of criticism. So my thought is, look, you do you. And by that, I mean, do what you think ought to be done. Do what seems meaningful and important, fulfilling, and right to each individual. You know, people are going to say what they're going to say. Haters are going to hate if they want to hate. But in the meantime, you know, be true to yourself. And if an individual is true to him or herself, and they firmly believe they've had a Bigfoot encounter or UFO encounter, whatever it might be, that's fine. I have every right to be true to myself, as you do as well, Bill, and critique these individuals. So that leads me back to what you said. In the history of Bigfoot sightings in videos, in pictures, in advanced technologies, and et cetera, there has never, and I mean never, been any level of proof that Bigfoot exists. And I don't want people to say, well, Mario, we have all these stories. We've got a lot of stories. That means absolutely nothing. Eyewitness testimony is the most unreliable form of evidence in the history of evidence. Anybody worth their salt needs to understand that. Now, does that mean that Johnny, walking through the woods that night, heard some branches breaking, some odd sounds that frightened him? Yes, I'm certain it did. But does that mean that Johnny was within yards of a mythical 8 foot tall, 900 pound, hairy humanoid? I don't think so.
Right. Now, the problem is there has at some times been enough witnesses to make me think, okay, it is possible, because they could have. There's two things I want to say. And I want to get back to shooting Bigfoot, because I would not shoot Bigfoot, but I would be tempted to shoot. I understand the temptation. And if someone did shoot Bigfoot and finally drag its carcass out into the open and say, here it is, and we all see it, I would not be angry at that person. See, now, I would not do it, but I would not. I completely understand why they did it. And the problem is, it could just be a guy in a suit. And I already know part of the military programs developing robots and future war tech and androids and everything else was to hide things in like Bigfoot form or animal form or creature form. That's part of the future psyops as well. And so they wouldn't want anyone seeing the development or test stages of some of the robots. And they would just put a bunch of hair on it, you know, and someone might see it. All right, so they did not get caught with their project. They just got another stupid story. And like you said, there isn't a single bit of proof. There's not even evidence. Not even. The thing is different with UFOs. UFOlogy is much different, though. And most of it we know is government, military, other corporations, even normal inventors. And the rest, I do believe there are aliens here. But, I mean, I can't prove that. And, It almost doesn't matter, right? Because if there are, it doesn't matter. Are they here on Earth? I believe there's plenty of aliens throughout the universe. Does that mean they made it to Earth? No, it doesn't. They probably did. Hell, I might be one. I don't know. It's like, so, but the Bigfoot issue is, I have friends that say they've seen them, many people. The issue comes down to this, Mario. There's always been a lot more woods than critics have thought there were, a lot more places to hide compared to civilized areas where people would normally be. On the other hand, we can see vast stretches of land for miles, at least over time and with binoculars all the time, a lot better than the believers say. And there's kind of a weird clash there. Now, there's plenty of land, and the more we expanded cities and towns and grew out more and more slowly out into the woods and finally took over the woods. It used to be endless woods. It was mostly woods, endless forests. They could have always continued to be in retreat. There's plenty of places they still could be in total retreat, not even that far from a city or town, and still never be detected. I can believe it's possible, but based on evidence, hell, we know the most. We used to find like 10,000 species a day on the Earth, and pretty much we narrowed it all down to every square inch and square mile of the planet just about. And the last, what we thought might be Bigfoots, were found as a few spots. Some of the apes lived that were unique apes. We know all that. We figured all that. We had the hair. We found dead bodies. There was some limited places some things were. We finally proved, and now we moved on. Now we're covering the oceans now. Now we're in Antarctica, but still no Bigfoot.
Look, and I'm just thinking about this. I mean, so, you know, the Vikings of Norway are purported to be the first Europeans to have visited North America.
Right.
And I know nowhere in Viking oral traditions, you know, Eric the Red, that there is any oral tradition of Eric running into Bigfoot.
Right, right. Well, there wouldn't have been a lot of time for that, but yeah, that would be more of a time when there would have been Bigfoot all over the place, possibly with the Indians, like some claim, right? But I think Bigfoot was the old giants. I mean, the Russians and Vikings and the old Neanderthals were actually the old giants everyone always talked about. I think that's literally who it was. I don't think it was anything different, except, you know, maybe a little different in a few cases. And for the most part, the largest would have been 12 to 15 feet tall, mostly around 8 or 9 or less. And remember what I occasionally say on this show. I mean, a lot of history was passed down by people we thought and they stated were adults. They were 13-year-olds. The 13-year-olds in a wild planet when they didn't even know how to talk. It's just the stories from 13-year-olds. Oh, what a bunch of 13-year-olds who thought they were full-grown adult fathers. But when they were 20, they thought they were getting old. They usually died around 30. And they meet somebody that's 6 feet tall, that's 60 years old or older, or specifically bigger instead of a squat, specifically smaller human 13-year-old. Of course they're going to say they were giants. Every shadow they saw, they thought was a monster or a giant anyway.
People jump at shadows in I don't know if you looked at chat, but Flea and Lavender are having a very good time with our Bigfoot conversation.
Yeah, Lavender, I think, was the one who said Bigfoot is purportedly vegetarian. If Bigfoot's real.
I'm trying there is somebody I knew once when I was talking to him about Bigfoot, and he said he did a study on the amount of calories that Scandinavian sailors needed to consume per day. This was in, 600 BC or whatever. And it was an enormous amount of caloric intake per day. So imagine, let's just play the game pretend. Let's pretend Bigfoot is real. And Bigfoot is, in fact, 7 feet tall and weighs 900 pounds. The caloric intake required by a creature that large just to maintain that body mass,
right,
has to be what? 14,000 calories a day?
It's hard to say because the metabolism can be really souped up and really low.
All right, just give me a best guess on how many calories it would need.
Well, since it's
well over 7,000.
Yeah.
So let's just be fair and say it's 7,000 calories a day.
It would need at least a rabbit a day for as far as food goes, right? I mean,
I think it'd be more than that. So Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, legitimately during the height of his training, consume between 8,000 and 10,000 calories a day. There's a video out there, and he's got, I don't know, 6 Subway foot-long sandwiches that he basically eats every day.
Right.
But he just burns all up the tree. So you're telling me that Bigfoot has the ability to catch, capture, consume between 8,000 and 10,000 calories per day, and
berries. Yes.
And I don't know if the local vegetation or habitat can provide that sustenance.
How many coffee beans can a Mexican pick? And now I'm sorry to sound racist, but I mean it's just to be a little funny with the Bigfoot issue. How many coffee beans would that take for Bigfoot? If a coffee bean was a berry for Bigfoot, each berry. How many could a Mexican even pick enough coffee beans per day to feed Bigfoot at one per day? I mean, come on,
Yeah.
If it's eating a whole rabbit a day or a whole coyote a day each day, you still have to crap. No one's found any crap from it, and we know crap from every animal, every bug, and every bird.
I don't know what Flea's talking about. Flea says, Mario, what got the Jews through their exile? What are you talking about?
Bigfoot. Well, it's kind of an important question in our political stage here. But I want to say the shooting a Bigfoot thing. One reason I decided I would not shoot Bigfoot, first of all, there's a lot of reasons, because it means a lot of the stories would probably be true about the good side and intelligence of Bigfoot. On that alone, I would say, okay, I've seen it. I see it. It's either a robot or a real Bigfoot. And because I've heard all the other stories, I will not shoot Bigfoot. I'll just be another word. It depends on how animalistic it sort of acted. If I were to see it, if it spoke English and said, hey there, like I've heard stories of. The problem is, a couple people I've known that said they saw Bigfoot, while I lived with them, were just crazy. And they were crazy. And there was no Bigfoot. There was no Bigfoot out the freaking window. And there was no alien floating above us. And there was no spaceship in the yard. As that was one of the people, for those who know. Oh, go ahead, Mario. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm just...
It's hard to,
I'm wondering about these friends of yours who claim to have seen Bigfoot, and I'm wondering what the follow-up conversations were, because in most cases, I live in Minnesota. It has many lakes and many, many pine trees. I have not had one person that I know, and I've got friends and relatives that live in what would be defined as, areas that where their neighbors aren't very close, and right. they've never said I've seen something walk across my backyard.
Well, we have to make sure we don't make people feel embarrassed to tell us if they do see it, because we would need to hear all the stories, and if we didn't hear the stories, it could just because everyone's afraid of saying the story and looking crazy. And since they didn't say it, now anyone else who would come forward would also look crazy because no one else said it. And the thing is, it could have been always on the move or dying off the closer we got to it. And the body may instantly rot. Maybe there's a particular bug that devours it instantly, or its enzymes dissolve it, or maybe it teleports. Who the hell knows? I think a lot of them were supposed to have gone to the deep, deep woods and to Canada. Now, Canada's absolutely vast. Plenty of room for Bigfoot. Plenty. Now, not many of my friends ever said they saw Bigfoot, and the ones who implied it, we never really had the deep talk, or I never got taken to the areas it was supposed to be. But Max Steele, who is sort of trying to be famous, but then now he's dead, I ended up living with, and he ended up he'd have seizures. He'd have
Okay, Bill? You're coughing over there. What's going on?
Nah, it's just a dry cough.
There's like influenza B or something, some crazy thing going around.
Well, I'm a little allergic to cats and dogs, kittens and cats all over, and the blower was on, and like it's a dry issue in here. But it's just more like a dust thing caught in my throat.
Okay.
But thank you for being concerned. But that particular guy made a lot of claims, huge UFO claims. He's from space and time, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, he used to have seizures, and he was a braggart, and he used to sort of be rich, and he was in the mob, and he was a tough asshole kind of guy originally, trying to be good. So we thought he was coming onto our side, helping us. I kind of had no choice. He was saying, no, I got over all that. I got over all my problems. And I thought he kind of got through his psychological problems. And he didn't. Not really. So he kept talking and talking. He wouldn't shut up. And all this stuff came out. And he'd have seizures in front of me. And he'd say, hey, did you see Bigfoot last night? Hey, did you see the alien? Did you see the alien floating in the living room? He'd be in the left chair. I'd be in the right chair. Hey, do you see him? there's supposed to be an alien floating between the ceiling and us before the TV on the wall. And I'm like, no. He winked at me. No, I didn't see it. It's not there. It's like, oh, no, I had Gabriel, the super being, wrap his wings around me, loving me. I'm like, those beings don't have real wings. That's symbolic. Do you know how to use a pair of wings? You know the wings on a bird are their arms? It's like, no. Do you know how to use a pair of wings? You know they can float without wings, right? That a bird is biological. They're trying to fight gravity with wind. Like, it doesn't matter. These people don't understand anything.
Do you think these people have no, I mean, I'm going to say this and it's going to sound very bad, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you think there are people who have really nothing going on in their life that they just create this fantasy world of they either create it because they truly believe it, or they get involved in it because they found a niche and they understand it's all B as in B, S as in S.
Now, what it was for him is a combination of, he was a con man, but he was a good guy for as far as bad punks and con men go, as far as gangsters go. He was one of the better ones. He wanted to be good. He did not start exactly in like the mafia. He saved a girl. He saved a girl from being shot and robbed and stuff.
Wait, who are you talking? Who are you talking about?
Well, this would be Tony. This would be Max Steele. He was known as for a while. Tony Diaz was his real name. He's the one who saw Bigfoot and alien and said he was an alien. Had a lot of claims about.
Wait, he's an alien? You know, a real legitimate alien?
Oh, he thought he was.
Oh, you know? Okay.
I'm like, if you're an alien, I mean, you obviously just came here to abuse young girls and.
Oh, one of those guys. Not cool.
Have a freaking blast with our money. And then he wanted to be good. So you got the virtue signaler concept. That's the first concept. People want to be good. And even when they don't really want to be good, they want to appear as good. And it doesn't have to be nefarious. It's just an impulse to try to appease the crowd and to be above them and maybe be the leader or something. He wanted to be good, but he was bad. And he was a big, big guy. He literally was a giant. He was a huge punk. So eventually, he was kind of in a rich family in Florida, lived in one of the best places on earth. So he was a super snob, had everything given to him. And he was pretty smart. He wasn't stupid. He wasn't specifically smart, but technically a genius. I mean, when you have a lot of money and your life is smooth, you pick up on plenty. You can technically be a genius. And one day he saved a girl screaming, and he took her home to a big yacht or something, or a mansion. It turned out to be the mod boss, and it was his daughter. So he was invited in and helped him out for a long time, and it grew from there. His family was Cuban mafia, so he was mafia in two, three kind of ways. Merged, he was offered at one point to be, he had a whole bunch of girls, he did all kinds of fun things. They appeased him. He was sort of in the news. In that movie Convoy, he was in the movie Convoy. He wasn't one of the actors exactly. He was just one of the truckers. He was a trucker. He did a bunch of cool stuff, but the thing is, he eventually got captured by the government. They implanted him and others because they were trying to use him for the mob. He didn't realize that exactly. He was chosen to be a leader he turned down, so I give him extra credit. He was chosen to be, it's kind of why I even brought up what I said last week, a little to do with it. He was, they needed a replacement coming up for the one in charge of the cartel of the East Coast, or the lower East Coast anyway. And he was their choice because he was an assassin too. He's assassinated probably 3-4 people or more, stabbed people in the hand, killed them, broke their bones, all kinds of stuff. And we almost killed each other, like I've told people. But, you know, he was into guns and hookers And his favorite memories were him having sex with five-year-olds all in a row in a line in a convent.
Oh, well, that's and disgusting.
Yeah, you know, it's like, and then he liked the little girls in the area. I was like, he's like, aren't they, look at their skin. Look at the copper tone. I'm like, oh, how old are they? They don't look that, they look kind of young from here. I wasn't sure if they were further away than I thought or what. He's like drooling over like a 14-year-old girl. And he was bragging about, like, he was a shady guy mixed with a lot of shady people all his life, although he was trying to be good. And the thing is, he got captured and had implants, and obviously he was hypnotized and given programs. And so he was always in that program, and he was psychic to a degree, and they used that, and they gave him visions, and they made him delusional, and he thought he fought them because he believes in freedom. A cartel member doesn't want to be taken over. You know, they want to take you over. They don't, they're like, they're tough guys. The tough guy in the street, gang member, is not going to let you walk up to him and take them as a prisoner. So he fought him. He thought he fought them successfully, him and someone else, a few others. And he didn't. They tricked him, and he thought he tricked them. He was always in the program. He had implants in him. And he had these visions of he liked to believe it was true. And then it made him money. He was an ex-con, and he was doing con-like things and using con-like tricks, psychological tricks to boost your confidence. Sort of going back to the Tony Robbins thing. Tony Robbins is great for people who lack confidence.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but it's not for everybody because everyone keeps saying, no, just think positive. It works. No, that only works for people who already failures for good reasons. Many times it's good for those who lack confidence and but they act like it's for everybody. Like no one knows this. And if you do, you'll definitely be better for it. No, it's not true. Plenty of people know it normally. We don't have confidence problems, and I have full ability in my skill set. And I mean, I'm not skilled in everything, but I mean, I think you know what I'm heading at either mm-hmm. way. So it's like Tony got captured. He believed he was an alien who came in a large spaceship from the future, from another dimension in the future, and from another galaxy from the future in another dimension, many, many dimensions up, and that he was the second son to the king who was the ruler of his planet and the solar system. And the solar system used to destroy any ships that used to come in. They used to make the sun shoot any ship, any invaders that come in. By a surprise attack, like some explorer would come along. Like this is how I looked at it. If that were true, it would be like, they're just like somebody's just coasting through the solar system, exploring space, just left the planet. Wow, wow, wow. That's a cool planet. That's a cool solar system. That was bam. And they just get shot out of nowhere because they like no communication. Just bam. You're in the wrong place. So like he'd be like, I'm the prince and my brother was Jesus. So Nanda. So he's going with the whole Illuminati agenda. It turned out he's in the whole Illuminati agenda program, bringing on the whole New World Order religion. Sonanda, Jesus Christ coming back. That's my brother. I'm his brother. I'm a prince. And like all this stuff, and I'm special and I have superpowers and my spaceship is in the yard in a shrunken form, but it's really giant inside. I visit it every night in my sleep, all kinds of stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm open to any possibility in some ways. All the ways are, you're obviously a nut. He there was indications of specifically him being a nut. I'm still mildly open to the possibility of it. But
the possibility of what?
Well, maybe he was an alien. Maybe he incarnated here. He said he was. He came here and he spiritually entered. He was a walk-in. He walked into a five-year-old. So what'd you do? You kick a five-year-old out of the five-year-old body? You took over? Because you knew he was going to be a rich kid. Then you humped a whole bunch of little girls all your life. And then you stole a lot of money, beat up a lot of people, worked for the mob and made a bunch of gold and had a whole bunch of fun with Hollywood. And now you like think you're special and you're going to save the Patriot movement. And like he's claiming Bigfoot, aliens, and we're saved from aliens and healing abilities and how to make you money. He used the old wrestler trick. In other words, the psychology of pretend to put on a wrestler belt, you know, the big gold when they win the belt, the title and stuff, and put that on, and it's special and it's to your design. Now, how does that feel? Now activate these numbers. It's psychology. Total psychology. It can work. We tried that on me and others, but really it was to get your social security number and all kinds of information, codes about your birthday. Anyone like him doing this stuff would be monitored, and through him, unknown by him, he could be getting everybody's special data also. And that is how they did a bunch of that stuff, actually. Anyway, I've been talking a long time. Go ahead. We got to talk about Lazar again, too.
No, there's actually, you were talking about Tony Robbins. I think he's a grifter. But there's a.
Well, I like Tony, but I don't. He's not for every. He's for freedom, by the way. He came out on the upside.
Not that I think everything they post on YouTube is the best in the world, but I there's a. If you ever get the chance to watch that video, there's a he's Robbins is a clearly a motivational speaker. You know, he gets people excited, very excited, but once they leave the arena, then what? You know, then I think they then become dependent on signing up for his books and signing up for his websites. And there was this, years ago I dated a woman, and she was part of this group called Landmark Forum. So I went to it once, and they use this term called rickets. And I said, well, what does this term mean? And they said, basically, what people who have things that are holding them back. Long story short, it was sort of based on this psychological technique where you break somebody down and then build them up. And they had these introductory weekend seminars that lasted, you know, 12 hours on Friday, 12 hours on Saturday, and 12 hours on Sunday. And it cost, I don't know, $300, an arbitrary number. And when people said, that's a lot of money, their reply was always, well, go home and open your closet. I'm certain you've spent $300 on wasteful things that you've never used before. But anybody who knows anything about anybody, when you put people in a room for an extended period of time and beat them down, they're going to start to wear psychologically and start believing in all the B as in B, S as in S that's sent their way. And I was there, it was this introductory night, and I turned to the woman I was dating. I said, look, this is B as in B, S as in S. I'm leaving, so if you want to ride home, now's the time. If not, you need to catch a ride with somebody else. And that was as far as I got with that place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I always made it a point to be – considerate isn't the right word. In other words, I like anything good about anyone. And I, even if they're bad, like, I really just want to, I always say, like, I can like bad or evil as long as there's some way to some good common denominator you can latch onto or like, and then maybe work with and somehow improve. On the other hand, things are just too out of hand these days. And it's just, we're overrun, we're overridden. And I always want to, no one's perfect, and we're all at different places of our evolution. And we all do need to go through things. And there's always benefits and bonuses of all those things, motivational speakers, and people do need them. I mean, I had a lot of people don't have the same experience in the family, like we talked about. They don't have the right, they have all different kinds of upbringings and different places and neighborhoods, and they do need to hear it from someone sometime and get past it, and it can help. And if you keep applying it and you keep with it, it will work. It, it the problem is our situations are all different, and our personalities are all different. So I would be okay with just about everything, but I mean, there's a certain point when it's definitely, actually nowadays, just there's all kinds of things happening with old women being abused by con men and stuff. And yeah, they might be really in love with you. And in this, your case, one out of a billion or a thousand or a hundred, maybe they're really not conning you, but no, you should go with, they're obviously a con. They're conning you. And I don't know how to explain how I'm transitioning this story with going like from that to this. Like, I want to give everyone a chance. I want to give credit where credit's due. And some people just need those things at that time. So I don't really want to knock it. But on the other hand, I mean, I'm not on that level. I don't want to be part of it. Or maybe briefly, but not like part of my life. I don't want it to be a majority part of my life. I wouldn't want to hang with someone that's too low in the totem pole, doing too many low things for too long, I guess is a good way to put it. And like, if it wasn't something they were going to learn from quick and move on to the next good thing, I wouldn't stay with them. And the benefit I had growing up was I was ripped away from everyone, whether I liked it or not. It was a benefit.
Oh, explain that, because I don't know that about you.
No, I mean, the reason I became who I am and how I am is because I came from a broken family that, like my mother, you know, and dad got divorced just about as soon as I was learning the face of my dad. And I was just sort of getting to know who he was. I only had a few memories of him, even though I always recognized his face when I saw him each time. I didn't have any memories of him anyway before that. When I was three, four, and five. And I remember the very last day I saw him before many, many years later, we occasionally met, or he took us out for movies, disappeared for many years again, and then helped me out living with him. But because of them being divorced, he didn't support my mom. And we bounced around all our lives, home after home after home after home. Now, I never went into a government home, but hell, I would have just committed freaking suicide. I wouldn't want that life. Just if that's as low as it's going to be, just don't give it to me at all. I'm not having it. And you know, we went from relative to relative, friend to friend, and a couple mother boyfriends, and school to school, town to town, and city to city. I just did that most of my life until I thought it finally ended, and it really didn't end. I got pulled right back in. Then I thought I broke out of it not too long ago, and here I am homeless. I keep being whacked. Like, God damn it. Cut the shit. I learned all I needed to learn. It was very beneficial for me to have a lot of experiences from many different types of people. Many, many. And to pull away from them as opposed to getting stuck with them and growing up in the normal way. Stuck with one or two or three people, going through the motions like everyone else, and then ending up in a divorce anyway. Stuff like that. I became complicated. It forced me to become a complicated questioning thinker. And it made me forced me to learn how to be an artist and all kinds of, you know, a little skill after a little skill after a little skill, a bunch of skills. Didn't perfect most of them, but I didn't need to. It was an overall balance. And I was tested as a genius, 6 years old and seven, because I was already complicated. I went to the best schools from the start. So every school I went to next was like a little stupider, and some parts were better, but they kept saying, you need to test him. He's like way ahead of this. We got to put him in a class next year, like ahead of grade. And then eventually it all fell apart. I had burnout from religious reasons, family, all kinds of things. And I'm kind of making this too long of a story. It made me be a permanent thinker and observer, and it made me have a different perspective over I've seen everything from all sides, all perspectives. So I can see the good in everyone, in the bad people, and the bad in the good. And I face it, whatever it is, for the most part, you know, if I need to.
Well, you're not really homeless, because aren't you residing somewhere right now?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm outside in someone's yard under the carport, but
we've talked about this before. Is it weather tight?
No, but I'm weather hardy. I was supposed to be in a tent from the beginning, from the RV into the outdoors, and then it was a sudden get out right now, and all right, here's a tent. You can put some of your stuff in the carport or set up a bed. My neighbor was going to give me his old mattress, but that was only if he ended up pulling out his brand new one, if he moved to the RV, which he never did. It was a big story. So it was supposed to be a real bed inside the back, and never was. And then it was like, oh, I got the fishing and camping tent. We can set it up for the night. It was already too late to set that up. Then it had rips in it anyway, and the area really was never cleared, and I was waiting for it to be cleared. Then it became my responsibility to do the whole sort of a junkyard clearing and ground prepping. And it just snowballed and snowballed, extended, and like I just pulled out more and more of my blankets and clothes, and no matter how cold it was, I could take the cold.
So are you working right now?
No, there's no way I would be able to, and I wouldn't have time until... There's a long story about that, and there's things people don't know. And I've implied some of it and kind of said some of it. I have to finish shoring up all my ownership stuff outside before anything can happen at all, period. Period. End of story.
What do you mean your ownership? Things that you own?
All my totes and all the boxes. I have to shore up, fix. Things were seriously damaged and in the process of being damaged. And I had to make them hardier and hardier and smaller and smaller, like more and more consolidated and fixed. It's a complicated thing to put together properly, and it can only do it during good weather. That's it, during good weather only. And a job is out of the question. There's no way. I mean, I don't have a license. I don't have a car. I don't have ID right now. I could get the ID pretty fast. All kinds of things. The only thing there is time for when there's time is just to continue shoring up my stuff for the purpose of being able to finally move on to doing all the next stage stuff. The next stage stuff is getting in touch with, trying to by letter, getting in touch with a few people from my past, telling them what happened and explaining my situation properly, because I haven't seen them in like 20 years.
Well, how did you end up where you are right now?
Oh, it's like, it's a long story. I was kind of ready to make some huge deals with the free energy stuff behind the scenes. And while I was doing that, my mother's boyfriend died. It was super hard to try to get all her stuff moved into the apartment alongside of mine. And then I had to kind of take care of her. When that all happened, I was about to put through my final project and make a ton of money. And then I was going to do a whole bunch of stuff. And my life was pretty much solved at that point. But my mother's super problem got in the way big time. And that took like 3 years. But I got a lot of money in the process. And people offered helping me travel to and from. So I was preparing to put through my plan. But I had to prep people secretly in case I died or something didn't go through. I wanted the story to come out publicly and my knowledge to happen. But then while all that was happening, I was doing all that, not doing my projects because I had to. My house was ruined. My project was kind of ruined because of my mom and because of the travels to actually save me to have people cover my back. And then everyone was kicked out by a cartel member who screwed the landlord illegally with the court system to take the home. So we had to move, and that move had a whole bunch of problems. That ended up in the hands of that guy who I talked to you about who saw Bigfoot, the cartel giant guy, Max Steele. And then a whole bunch of things happened with his Cuban mafia and Mexican mafia friends of the house we lived in across the street from with my mom. As the backup, the house just kept going haywire. All things got worse and worse until that guy kicked us out because he wanted to sell the home. When he promised he'd never sell the home. So then I ended up, a bunch of juggling acts got me here, and then I got juggled out of the RV outside. And my stuff was never properly fixed. It was always in motion and rebuilding my life, and it just kept being destroyed over and over. Everything I did was being destroyed. And again and again, and causing more problems, more time delays, more extending, continuously increasing the amount of time it would take to do less and less stuff, more and more and more time, more and more and more pain to do less and less and less things. And
so
all my stuff.
You mentioned that you earned a substantial amount of money. Did you still have funds available to you?
I didn't earn a whole lot of money. I was given some and found some. My mother helped me go on some of the trips, and also a lot of regular coins, not coin collection exactly, but just they saved it. Yeah, it's thousands of dollars in coins, just in pennies and nickels and quarters. My mother was a germaphobe and didn't want to touch them. I kept saying, well, you know, we, and so she just told me to use it all. And hell, I mean,
do you have a savings account?
I did, and then I had control of my mother's social security, and then they took her away because of things that happened at the last house, which should not have happened. And that's a long story, and that would look against me, and it's not against me. I am right. I haven't really told the story exactly. It's going to look bad, but it's really not going to be anything like what anyone thinks it is. It never was. And I had to do what I had to do anyway, but that's another story. So I ended up getting juggled here, and during all the motions and repair of my totes, the weather was vastly destroying major important stuff about me and my past and my possessions. And now all the cardboard boxes are not protected, are in the carport, which is, you know, mice and rats occasionally rummage through. And it's okay. I'm keeping on top of them. I can survive the weather. I had learned how to deal with the heat in the summer, superheat, and I had learned to deal with the super cold. I got all the bugs out, and I can handle
it. So it's February 10th. What's the temperature like there this evening?
Well, today is like it was in the high 40s and 50s because of a rain.
What about tonight? So you're going to leave and go out and sleep in the carport tonight?
Yeah, every night, yeah.
Now, what's the temperature going to be tonight?
Oh, it'll probably be in the about 40 or something, but even when it's down to when it's been down to 9-8 degrees, I was fine. It's just totally fine.
When you wake up tomorrow, what are you gonna do? What do you do?
It depends on the weather. It's probably gonna rain tomorrow, so I'll be sleeping through the day because I'm on air, and then I go on the internet after this, and then I go into the carport about 5 in the morning. Then I get to bed at 7 or 8 in the morning, and I have problems sleeping sometimes. And so it's not a lot of time left in the day anyway.
So once you end your show this evening, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go on the internet because I only.
Oh, so you're going to stay inside. You're going to stay inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then in the morning, I'll go into the carport, but I do not come in to use the internet until 10 o'clock at night because that's when they get off the internet here. And
so you'll be in the house. So you'll be in the house all night. Will you sleep inside the house or no?
No, 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 and I do not want to. It's chaos. No, it's a hexed place, and the animals will be all over me and stuff. Hmm. I don't have time. I have a schedule I can barely survive, you know, in a way, and I need peace of mind, too. I'm planning things. I'm always looking and shaping. Everything's always in some kind of planning or motional.
When you go out to the carport, you said in the morning you fall asleep around 7 o'clock. Is it difficult for you to sleep at 7 in the morning when there's, you know, I presume traffic bustling and people, you know, talking around?
That's when people are starting to go to work. We're on a kind of a private road, not much here as far as that goes. But the people start coming out. They talk alongside them and around me and work on stuff sometimes. And that's not always too much of a problem. But lately,
makeshift walls up and stuff, or is it just completely open?
It's kind of like a whole pile of boxes and a table. There was a big island table in the middle, and there's kind of a little, on the left side, there's almost half of there's a drop cloth cover covering the left half that's all tattered and beaten. It got ripped down from storms.
Well, maybe you could find some old pallets and just make some walls.
Well, no, it would be too complicated. The main thing, I mean, that's not a bad idea normally, but I really wouldn't need it exactly. The whole point was for me to finish up the tote issue out here, then to put up the tent I have. I have a tent to put up. The problem is the weather is probably going to beat the damn tent down. And I got to put the rest of my boxes in it. So I'll have all my problems solved in the tent. And everything will be ready for any future moving I'll be able to do. See, I need to get it all in the exact place and take the pictures and show everybody exactly what I have, the exact size and shape. And that way it's ready to be moved as it is. And it's covered and safe, and I'll know it'll all be safe wherever I go. I do have money in the future. I have ways to get money in the future. Yes. It was fun, Mario. What's your show? Anyway, donate everybody. Laura's coming up next.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest...